out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. I wanna ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in.
Why? And under what circumstances? I don't know how the heck I made it here today. Yes, we're live on this 26th day of November. I did not make it at all last week. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Good day. Good morning. Good evening. Good night. Welcome to a Tuesday installment of Protecting Your Wealth. Jeff Bennett here for the next hour. Given the fact it's the day before a holiday, where we remember that racist holiday with a bunch of white people that came over on a ship, sat down with a bunch of red men and women and gobbled up a bunch of turkey and corn and God knows what else. But we're not going to talk about that today. Other than the fact we will not be here Thursday or Friday, apparently, I'm told we'll not be broadcasting live due to the holiday week. For those of you who may pay attention, have not been posting a lot on any of my websites for reasons that are frustrating me. I was forced last week to do some major updating to my operating system on my Mac, and when I did it, it literally killed one program that is paramount to me. And it has become very, very difficult to do the things I have to do. Now, it's not that I've been posting nothing. I've done more work on Metropolis.cafe, just a few things on Morgana Precious Metals, even fewer on Federal Observer. I've not touched the Kelly website, our cancer and health site, for probably over a week because of this aggravation we're having. For those articles that are not embedded with hyperlinks, it becomes easier to put our economic headlines out on a daily basis is nearly impossible right now. I have to go to a different computer to do it, which still has the old system, and it's going to remain that way until they decide to kill it. Or I've got to find an alternative to the program that I had. But several things that we've come across that we did publish on MorganaPreciousMetals.com. One of them is an interesting one. It talks about the greatest swindle in American history and how, in fact, they are going to try it again very soon. This is one of those interesting pieces. It's a kind of an interview between two people. And all I'm, in effect, going to do is reference the questions and the answers. And we'll get to the end and we'll tell you who the individual was being interviewed because it's somewhat important. Simple statement of fact. Before 1913, my friends, there was no income tax. And the United States was a much, much freer country. Initially, the government sold the federal income tax to the American people as something that only the rich would have to pay. Oh, yeah. Always begins that way. Average person is always happy to see the rich folk taken down a peg, so this makes the introduction of the concept of theft by government more palatable. Of course, once folks have gotten used to the concept and accept it as being perfectly reasonable, then it's time to begin to drop the bar as to who the rich really are. ultimately, the middle class, of course, are always the target. The top bracket in 1913 kicked in at $500,000. That's equivalent to about $12 million today. That's how much the dollar has lost in real purchasing power. It now takes $12 million to buy what it only took $500,000 to buy in 1913. Oh, and the tax rate was only 7%. The government taxed those making up to $20,000 at only 1%. 1%. Well, any good politician understands that you begin with the thin end of the wedge, then expand upon that as soon as you feel that you can get away with it. And the speed at which the tax rises is commensurate with the level of tolerance of the people. And in different eras, the same nation may have a different mindset. The more domination the people have come to accept from their government, the faster the pillaging can be expanded. Now, here's a good example. The Stamp Act that King George III placed upon the American colonies in the 18th century, that's the 1700s, was quite small, less than 2%. But you see, the colonists were very independent people. They asked little from the king in the way of assistance, and instead they relied upon themselves for their own well-being. Such self-reliant people tend to be very touchy as regards confiscations by government. And even 2% was more than they would tolerate. By comparison, however, if today, say, Texas were to eliminate all state taxation and allow only 2% in federal taxation, Washington would come down on them like a ton of bricks, saying that they were attempting to become a tax haven. They'd be accused of money laundering. Aiding terrorism might well be cut out of the SWIFT system. The federal government would shut down the state government if necessary, but diminished tax would not be tolerated. Of course, once the American people conceded the principle of an income tax in 1913, the politicians naturally could not resist ramping it up. Just look at the monstrosity that exists today in the U.S. tax code, which most Americans passively accept as normal. Oh, yes, it's a typical example of giving an inch and taking a mile, my friends. Oh, yes. You see, the key to it is twofold. First, you have to be sensitive as to how quickly you can ramp up taxation. Secondly, that rate. Why can I not see this? Here we go. That rate of taxation, of course, is directly proportional to the level that the public receive largesse from le gouvernement. The public receives largesse. What is that? What do I receive from them? Social Security, which was my money to begin with. Which public are they talking about? Are they talking about illegal invaders? I'm not just talking about those who come up from our southern border through various different Central and South American countries who continue to crank out baby after baby so they can get largesse from the government, which means largesse from us, you and I, the taxpayer. Maybe it's some of those people that got brought over here by Obama, that were placed in different locations in Tennessee, Minnesota. And they've moved out to other states, cranking out babies, pulling in the largesse, of course. And of course, a lot of those people are running for and being elected to public office. So we can still be watching for more largesse to come from the government. I mean the taxpayers. I mean, these people living off the largesse have got to, you know, they have to have become highly dependent upon a nanny state, thereby willing to take their whooping from nanny. The greater the dependency, my friends, the greater the whipping. And of course, homeowners in this country and most countries must regularly pay property taxes, which are taxes on property that you supposedly own. Maybe you've paid off the mortgage and you own it. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, depending on where you live, these taxes can be quite high and never seem to go down. What are your thoughts on the concept of property taxes? Well, Jeff Thomas, who's the gentleman being interviewed, says that my view would be biased, as my country of citizenship has never in its 500-year history had any direct taxation of any kind. The entire concept of direct taxation is therefore anathema to me. Easy for me to see simply by looking around me that a society operates best when it's free of taxation and regulation and people have the opportunity to thrive within a free market. Years ago, Thomas says, I built my first home from my savings alone, which had been sufficient because my earnings were not purloined by my government. Never paid a penny on a mortgage. Never paid a penny on property tax. So following the construction of my home, I was able to advance economically quite quickly. Of course, I additionally had the knowledge that, unlike most people in the world, I actually owned my home. I was not in the process of buying it from my bank and or government. And so, not surprisingly, he says, I regard property tax as being as immoral and as insidious as any other form of direct taxation. Well, the interviewer asks, not all countries have a property tax. How do they manage? Thomas responds by saying, I think it's safe to say that political leaders don't really have any particular concern over whether a tax is applied to income, property, capital gains, inheritance, or any other, no pun intended, trumped up excuse. Their sole concern is to tax. Taxation, you see, is the lifeblood of any government. And once that is understood, it becomes easier to understand that government is merely a parasite. It takes from the population but doesn't give back anything that the population could not have provided for itself if they hadn't been taxed beyond belief. And the public will do it more effectively and more cheaply, in other words, less expensive. So, as to how a government can manage without a property tax, we go back to the comment that the U.S. actually had no permanent income tax until 1913, which meant that they accomplished the entire Western expansion and the creation of the Industrial Revolution without such taxation. And how is this possible? Well, for starters, the government was much smaller. Without major taxes, it could become only so large and dominant. The rest was left to private enterprise. Private enterprise, of course, is always more productive than any government could ever be. Smaller government is inherently better for any nation. Governments must be kept anemic. Now, the Cayman Islands have no form of direct taxation. What does that mean? Thomas says it means that the driving force behind the country is the private sector. We tend to be very involved in government decisions and, in fact, generate many of the decisions. These are the things we used to do in this country. What the hell happened? We're not involved. The kids get up in the morning and come up out of mommy and daddy's basement and put their hoodies on and their little black and red masks. They'll never understand it. Thomas's laws that he has written privately for the Cayman Islands have been adopted by the legislature with no change whatsoever to benefit the government. And as regards to property taxes, there's only three countries in the Western Hemisphere that have no property tax. Surprisingly, all of them are island nations. The Turks and Caicos Islands, Dominica, and the Caymans. Of course, Thomas mentions that the very concept of property ownership without taxation goes beyond the concern for paying an annual fee to a government. Additionally, in times of economic crisis, governments have been known to dramatically increase property taxes. And furthermore, they sometimes announce that your tax was not paid for the year, even if it was. And they turn around and confiscate your property as a penalty. Well, that's been done in a good number of places. Out here in Arizona where I live, a few months ago, we had a guy who apparently was $8 and some cents, $8.43 or 45 cents short of paying his complete tax bill. Government comes along and says, well, boy, get at your house. We own it now. Yeah. It's pretty frustrating, isn't it? The unbelievable. Just bear with me. My eyes are quite cloudy. I have to shake them around a little bit. Yeah, I pulled a muscle yesterday, somewhere in my gut, and it is killing me. Just killing me. All right, so we find that in the Caymans, everybody is equal under the law. The rights of property ownership are equal to his. Therefore, an overseas investor, even if he never sets foot on the Caymans, cannot have his property there taken from him by government or squatters or any other entity, such as legally can be done in so many other countries. Now, since the Caymans are a small island group, the great majority of business revenue comes from overseas investors. Therefore, the politicians, even if they're of no better character than politicians in other countries, understand if they change a law or create a tax that is detrimental to foreign investors and depositors, wealth can be removed from the Caymans in a keystroke of the computer. And before the ink is dried on the new legislation, billions of dollars could exit on the knowledge that the legislation is actually taking place. Now, their political leaders may not be any more compassionate than those of any other nation. Their one concern is that their own bread gets buttered. Oops. That's some of the considerations of our friends up there, too, D.C. Should they pass a legislation that's significantly detrimental to overseas investors? Their careers are over. And they understand that. They recognize that their future depends upon making sure that they understand and cater to investors' needs. Now, governments everywhere are squeezing their citizens through higher taxes and new taxes. And don't forget that printing money stuff. You know, that debases the currency. Well, that's real. It's kind of a hidden tax as well. And therefore, Mr. Thomas, what do you suggest people do to protect themselves? Where did I go here? I just flat lost track. Where did I leave off? Bear with me. I did something really stupid. Really stupid. Ah, here we go. What do people do to protect themselves? Thomas says the first thing to understand is that many nations of the world grabbed onto the post-war coattails of the U.S. Now, this gets where it gets interesting. The U.S. was going to lead the world and Europe, the U.K., Canada, Australia, Japan, etc. And they all got on board for the big ride to prosperity. And they followed all the moves the U.S. made over the decades. But unfortunately, once they were on board that train, baby, there's no getting off. When the U.S. went from being the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation, all those same countries got onto the debt heroin. My friends, the big party's coming to an end. And when it does, all countries that are on that train will go over the cliff. And so what that means to you and I, as individuals, is we don't want to be on that damn train. If you, in fact, are a resident of an at-risk country, which most of us are that are listening today, you want to first and foremost liquidate your assets in this country. Get the proceeds out of here. Because you might just, you know, want to have the convenience of checking and ATMs, etc. That money should be regarded as sacrificial. Don't leave a lot in the bank account because they'll find a way to take it. Of course, if all this happens, you've got to... You would then want to know to move the proceeds to a jurisdiction that is likely to not only survive the train wreck, but prosper as a result thereof. But once it's there, you want to keep it outside of banks and in the forms that are difficult to take from you. Cash, real estate, precious metals. Yeah, that's what you want to keep it in. Cash, real estate, and precious metals. And after you've done all this, it would be wise to also get yourself out before a crash. Because the day will come when migration controls will be imposed and will no longer be legal to exit. I know. Takes some doing. But if faced with a dramatic change in life, I'd want to be proactive in selecting what was best for me and my family before changing the socioeconomic landscape that made said choice for me. Enough said. It's point blank. Makes a pretty profound comment, I would think. Yep. Let's back up here. Now that's the greatest swindle in America. How are they going to try it again? Jacking up them tax rates, baby. Yeah, they going to get more dinero from your pocket. Pass. Sorry, I just bombed out. It's the problem. I got to be honest, I passed out sometime around 6 o'clock last night. I could not go on anymore. Maybe it's a little bit later. I think it was a little after 7. My wife started watching the final of Dancing with the Stars. I was very convinced from the very beginning exactly who was going to win, and I was correct. And frankly, she was an extremely talented gal, but so what? Probably 7:15 or so, I laid down. I woke up thinking it was 4 or 5 in the morning. It was like 10 o'clock. I went back to sleep, woke up a little after 1, went back to sleep fairly quickly, freezing my rear end off. Could not warm up last night. Could not rest peacefully. All of this on top of this pulling this muscle or whatever I did yesterday. And it's grossly painful, very, very uncomfortable. And to sit at a computer for long periods of time right now is not helping me. But I finally woke up a little bit later. I guess it was a little after 4. And realized I'm going to have to get up in a little while anyway. So turn my alarm off. Turns out my wife was substituting at my granddaughter's high school today. So I didn't have to take the squirt in. Wife did it. As soon as school's over here in just a short while, about 40 minutes, they're going to be taken off to pick up our other granddaughter. And I get to see my little Sneaky Bob. That's what I've always called her, Sneaky Bob, since the age of 2. She's sneaky, all right. But I've been up all this time. We had more of the work being done in the backyard by my granddaughter, the middle one, the 15-year-old. Her father came out and did a bunch of work for me this morning. I, number one, can't do it. I've been putting it off for months, and I really need to get this done now. So he came out, and we laid all the piping yesterday. And it was somewhere during the laying of the pipe, I was kind of half into a ditch, and I leaned over, and I could just feel it. God-awful pain. And I've been suffering all day with it. But this too shall pass, one form or another. And we're going to move on with some more history, per se. And I find that I much prefer talking about this kind of stuff anyway. This land of ours, my friends, has been pushed beyond all reality. What fools we have running the nation. We have not had true capitalism in over 100 years. And what everybody who has bought the flawed concept doesn't understand is that the supposed great economy is pure fabrication and manipulation that cannot and will not last. And it was constructed to be that way. Because when it implodes upon itself, the results will be far more devastating than if the governments and the Fed had kept their hands out of it. But then again, maybe I'm the fool. I mean, I do believe in a free market capitalist system 100%. I also understand that the current over-regulated fascist system has picked winners and losers over the century and created a great deal of the current wealth inequality we see today. A correction must come. Well, it's worse than that. It must come about in order to close the gap between those who would take the risks of starting businesses and their capital, and those who provide the skills and the labor to run those businesses. And with having said that, allow me to also add, there's nothing at all wrong in anyone making a fair profit from the sweat of their own brow, initiative, talent. You see, my friends, we're living in a system of the banks, by the banks, and for the banks, and that is the reality. Quote, G. Edward Griffin. The best economy ever is the constant mantra we hear from the Trump economic experts and Larry Kudlow, Trump's director of the National Economic Council. And yet, my friends, it's hard to ignore the warning signs that something isn't quite right with this economy. I've never felt it anything to be right. But my God, the people that buy into it, it's just sickening. Despite unemployment purportedly at an all-time low, and the stock market riding high, the Fed, Federal Reserve Bank, is still printing between $80 and $100 billion a day after stating 2 months ago that this action was only going to be necessary for a few weeks as they increased their own balance sheets by $200 billion since this last September. Of course, we've got quantitative easing. And it goes on and on. Stick around. Be right back. The bottom falling out. All the people slipping through the cracks. Well, you can run and hide, but you just can't change the facts.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Time. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. I wanna ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. Come about. You say reality's what you please. I wanna ask you, does water freeze at 32 degrees? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out.
Yep. I actually turned my mic off. Sorry about that. Well, the dollar's going out a lot faster than it's coming in for most folks I know. mainstream media, the investors tend to focus on, you know, all the Trump-type statistics, despite the manner that allows them to be most usually and easily manipulated. If somebody points to the recent collapses in some sectors of manufacturing or the explosion in consumer and corporate debt, the ready retort is always, oh, but the stock market's at an all-time high. You know, the average idiot ignores the fact that stock markets are meaningless trailing indicators. And they also ignore the fallacies surrounding the GDP numbers and the tens of millions of jobless people not included in the unemployment numbers for any reason. The government manipulates beyond belief. The inflation figures they give us, there's two things that are not included in there. Food and fuel, your gasoline. Boy, put those things back in there and take a look what your inflation figures are. I'm so GD mad. Here's my granddaughter, you know, in her second year of college. Next year be starting her third year. And frickin' college expenses increase so far beyond the so-called real rate of inflation or even the phony one. The Federal Reserve repossession market purchases continue to run in high demand. All of this, in turn, has tightened corporate cash flows to a near standstill. Always seems to me we saw something kind of like that just before the credit crisis hit in 08. And the Fed's been giving money to the banks left and right ever since. So the recent increase in consumer spending, that's deception, because it doesn't indicate people are buying more goods or have more disposable income. If anyone will view the steep declines in traffic and goods shipped via the trucking and railroad freight systems, it becomes more readily apparent that we're in the throes of inflation. Cost of living increases. The people spend more on the same amount of goods being bled dry along the way. But oh no, my friends, the Federal Reserve, they've cut interest rates three times this year, including the 0.25% cut at the end of October. And Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell noted that this move was made to provide some insurance against ongoing risks. These are actions taken by a central bank when the economy is weak. Oh, that's right. Over the course of the next month, you'll have many opportunities to turn on television or cable TV and watch It's a Wonderful Life. Concentrate on the banking scenes. Talk about the risks. The weak economy. The Federal Reserve. Their decisions directly affect the prices of everything on the planet. Because the U.S. dollar is the world's dominant reserve currency, dictating one's salary, dictating interest rates on loans, dictating home values and all other assets, goods, and services. And yet they recently acknowledged that they were in uncharted waters. Just a week or so ago, almost 2 weeks ago, Jerome Powell told Congress that economic conditions are totally unprecedented. And then he added that his committee had significant humility because so many of our basic assumptions have been wrong. Also stated the Fed was attempting measures that had never been previously attempted in order to correct and balance the economy. Whatever is being sold is getting put on plastic. Oh, that credit card debt, it just be heading to the sky. Or in the words of Jackie Gleason, to the moon, Alice, to the moon. America's most vulnerable people today are the 53 million workers, 44% of the workforce between the ages of 18 and 64. Wait a minute! I didn't think there were too many people between the ages of 18 and 35 that were even working. They're still living in mommy and daddy's basement. Antifa. Of course, the 18 and 64 age group, they're considered low-wage and low-skill workers. According to a recent Brookings Institution report, most of these people make considerably less than $11 an hour. And they're stuck in an economy where short-term contracts and freelance work are prevalent. Permanent jobs are not as plentifully advertised by political rhetoric. A polite word for BS. Oh, the median annual earnings are under $18,000 a year. Where in the hell can you survive on that kind of money? Huh? 18 grand a year, baby. Jesus. Ridiculous. I couldn't make my mortgage payment and eat on 18 grand a year. Somebody else would have to pay the power bills, gasoline bills from our automobiles, insurance bills. You know the only new clothes I've bought in the last 5 years? Underwear and socks. I haven't bought a brand new shirt. I take that back. I bought 3 pair of new pants last year, canvas type things, and a couple of new pair of shorts. When's the last time you out in guys in the men's clothing store? Now it can be a JCPenney's, a Sears, it can be a Target, the home of the perverts. I bought 1 pair of pants at one of those places, not realizing what I was buying. Men's clothing today are being manufactured for fruitcakes. They're demasculating the American world. They're stretch pants. Stretch pants. Well, the waistbands don't fit you right because they stretch. And then they sag over. They're terrible things. Go out today. Guys, listen to me carefully. You go out and try to buy yourself a pair of old-fashioned brief underwear. You know, they were made for years by Jockey and Hanes and Fruit of the Loom. Well, they're all Fruit of the Loom today. First of all, you're going to have a real tough time buying old briefs. They're all modified brief boxer shorts, and they're all stretchy. One of the days you just buy a pair of damn clothes that fit like men are supposed to wear. Come on, go into Walmart. Go on, take a look at their whatever brand of jeans that they carry. Jeans ain't jeans anymore. They're faggot clothes. Oh, did I upset you? Did I offend you? I really don't care. Jeans are stretch jeans today. And why did I buy 3 new pair of pants earlier this year? Because I was able to walk into Cabela's, and even though they're starting to carry a bunch of fruitcake clothes for men, they still had some non-stretch, buy them the size you're supposed to wear them pants. And I like them. I don't like stretchy fruitcake clothes, sorry. I don't wear brassieres. I ain't had a sex change. Not that I know of. It's unbelievable. But you see, all this doesn't make any difference, does it? Most folks out there, most families find themselves unable to pay their loans for cars, college tuition, credit card debt. And these folks are going to be hit hardest in the next recession. Oh, yeah, baby. They coming at you. Now, let's look at the big picture. The federal government's October budget deficit has the U.S. on track to a $1 trillion deficit next year, maybe sooner. All of this due to the pension that the Democrats and Republicans alike have for out-of-control spending. Oh, we're still giving away money to foreign countries and, you know, all that good stuff. I mean, everybody's squawking about the $150 billion or million dollars that he gave the Iranians or something. I don't know what the number is. The numbers are jumping all over the place. That money wouldn't pay 2 hours worth of debt in this country. Budget deficits began rising again in 2016. Now, that's the year that Trump got elected. So I'm sure going to blame it all on him. But the numbers have been rising for four straight years. Then we face a combination of tax cuts and spending. That's all pushing the deficit to take 5% of our gross domestic product by next September. $1 trillion for the first time since Obama was in the White House. For the first time in history, deficits topped $1 trillion every year from 2008 to 2012. Hallelujah, Brother Barack. All of this in the aftermath of the Great Recession. And of course, all of this ignores the manipulation of the GDP numbers themselves. Fancy accounting omits taxpayer dollar expenditures on inflated programs, and Obama doesn't care. And according to many experts, the U.S. GDP is actually in the negative. And yet even government figures show official GDP growth in decline at 1.9%, below the projected 3% growth for this year. Oh, we're taking the shorts, folks. That would be the boxer shorts. Massive U.S. consumer debt, both government and private, now totals over $14 trillion, and our national debt is at $22 trillion. But what the hell? It's just numbers. All of this places tremendous pressure on the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates low and even experiment with negative rates. And yet the Fed can only keep the price of money artificially low for so long without serious consequences. In the meantime, it's in a panic to prevent an economic crisis more severe and catastrophic than we saw in '08. Now, very similar to the insider buying schemes that centered in the 1929 stock market crash, in recent history, the money elites are still prone to engineer economic disasters while deliberately hiding the real statistics from the public. All of this, of course, in order to benefit from their insider knowledge and pick stocks up for pennies on the dollar, and a federal crime, by the way, that they seem willing to commit with total abandon. They also use economic crises such as the one impending to change the power structure in the nation or the world, just as FDR did through the raw deal, something that may not have been created otherwise. Think about that. The raw deal. I don't call it the New Deal. I've never called it the New Deal. It is, in fact, the raw deal. But it's either this or some of them truly believe the answer lies in doing more of the same. Or because they can't think outside of the box of doing it any differently. So once again, they pumped trillions of bucks into the banking sector, as was done in '08 to 2012. And it frees up more lines of credit. Seems to me as though some may really believe in Keynesian economics and the notion that an economy can be grown and expanded through more debt, thereby saving the system in America from suffering. Yeah, my friends, more often now, in an attempt to stave off the approaching catastrophe, America hears bankers advocating for universal incomes and making way for the Green Deal. Investments, you know, many different short and long-term economic stimulus packages, all while the global and U.S. economy are slowing and grinding to a halt. Now, the Federal Reserve sees the only solution is doing more of the same by way of various forms of QE. That's quantitative easing, not queer easing. And they do all this in order to avoid the riots in the streets. Now, I'm no prophet of doom. Most of the people that are in my business, that's all they are, is they're selling doom to get you to drop your shorts and scare the hell out of you to send them all your money for something they're peddling. But I do believe in taking a realistic look at all the matters, including our economy. If our economy is not on the verge of collapse, why has the Federal Reserve, the central bank, been buttressing it for the past decade? How much longer can the Fed continue this practice? How much longer do they actually want to do so? What if allowing the entire house of cards to fall benefits them, just as it has in the past similar situations? Currently, my friends, the top 10% of Americans are living large, prospering greatly from the Federal Reserve's government bubble scheme and Trump's stock market pumping on Twitter. And yet they've amassed hard assets in gold and silver and real estate and factories and tools and food supplies, with the certain knowledge that everything based on paper and debt will collapse soon. They'll pick everything up for pennies on the dollar, just like they did in 29, all over again. You see, they know it's on the way, but the collapse. So what's the big plan of bankers? I mean, think about this for a moment, what I just shared with you. These people, these top 10% of Americans, the ones that are living the large, listen carefully. They've amassed hard assets in gold and silver, real estate, factories, tools, food supplies. If I think about just those five or six items, think about this. Most of you can't afford to amass any of your assets in gold or silver. I'm convinced of that. Real estate, some parts of the country, it's still skyrocketing. Arizona, it's going nuts. But then we got 700,000 people that have left California, and they're either heading to Idaho or Texas or Arizona. Maricopa County, the fastest growing county in the nation, is a county I happen to live in. Got a few things taken care of here in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And when the weather begins to warm up, I want to get this house painted, the outside. Most of the inside has been done. I've got a few minor things to do on the inside of the house. I'm putting this place on the market. I want out. I don't want to live in this neighborhood anymore. The Homeowners Association is spending as if there's no tomorrow. They're doing the dumbest re-landscaping crap I've ever seen in my life. It's actually going to increase the amount of money they spend for those services each and every month. And within a matter of years, they're going to find that all this stuff they're doing is going to destroy the walls just the way they were destroyed before they rebuilt them this last year. Consider this, my friends. Our central bank and its owners see the U.S. financial system once again on the verge of collapse, and a system of inflation that cannot be sustained forever, because all systems of exponential growth are always doomed to collapse. Our system entered this surreal whenever it began working with numbers in the trillions. Just like Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic presidential 1/1024th percent Native American, easily and nonchalantly, as though it were nothing, bandied about a $52 trillion number to front her agenda if elected. And America's at the breaking point already, as she is being purposefully pushed beyond reality. The Federal Reserve Bank and its private concerns, their board members understand the dynamics better than anybody. But then who do they work for? They don't work for the federal government. They don't work for you and I. They work for the Rothschilds. They work for the Schiffs of the world. I'm not talking about that fruitcake Schiff. I'm talking about his ancestors. Jacob Schiff, founder of Kuhn Loeb Bank, the same bank that ultimately provided the man who became the first chairman of the Federal Reserve Board in 1914. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty stinky. When we get down to the end, on the last day, the big banker bandits are going to grab all they can in their desire to safeguard their own financial situation and be secure. Jamie Dimon don't give a damn about you, Jack and Jackie. They wake up every morning and say, "What's in it for me?" As hell unfolds for the rest of us, these people are going for broke because they know the system is broken and little remains to fix it. And the only real fix will come when America returns to a truly free capitalistic economy system, unseen in this nation since 1913, and even less so after FDR's raw deal hit the government. And as our artificial economy continues to fail and the wealth inequality gap swells, America will find herself at the 11th hour in an awakening that will ignite the auto-correction of our system and the wealth inequality imbalance, along with major protests in the streets of our largest cities, of course, much like we currently see in Chile and elsewhere. And we will face a revolution focused on eradicating the Federal Reserve Bank and arresting and prosecuting the unelected officials who have raped and pillaged and ruined this economy, all the while enriching themselves at the expense of most of America. And yet all the complaining and the crying and the whining and the protesting and the marching and the murderous crap that's pulled by Antifa, they don't even understand this. None of this is even in their equation. The music lady says it's time for me to go. If you found this column of interest, it's entitled America's Economy Pushed Beyond Reality and on the Last Day. You'll find it at MorganaPreciousMetals.com. We'll see y'all next week. Keep your eyes and ears open. You don't know what's coming. Bye-bye.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.